Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning for your spirit. It's our desire, Lord, if you come the next minute, all of us to be there. Get away from the world, the things of the world, in a place where you be the king and ruler. Thank you for your love to us, that you helped us. Keep us, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to be here worshiping the Lord. Try to make some notes to myself. Is Brother Keith here? Brother Keith, brother, I got to, don't leave before you get the software, okay? I don't want to miss him and then chase around. I enjoyed myself last night then. I was sitting here seeing these young boys on one side, the young girls singing. It's a beautiful thing, you know that? It's beautiful to see youth singing to Jesus. I have seen the other side. That's why I'm so thankful to the Lord what these kids are doing. And I just appreciate each one of them. And I pray so the Lord will really bless them and keep them and guide them. I was studying the other night and I said, Lord, just bless these young people and keep them. You know, keep them. They are beautiful. They are just beautiful kids. I know probably you can pick on them and say they did this and they did that. But, you know, never look at them what they are. Look what they could be. And you see another person there. You know that? That's what my objective is all the time. And who is Christopher? Christopher? I lost your address. Give me your address before you go, okay? Because I need to get in touch with you. I might go down and hide in that place, away from the States. No telephone. I was doing my devotions this morning, and I run across something. Sometimes I read the works of all saints. I was doing my devotions, and I read this. We must bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. That setting of one against the other in love. Peace, and he says unanimity, will be such aided by frequent silence, habitual recollection, prayer, self-abandonment, renunciation, and all vain criticism, and a faithful departure from the vain reflections of jealous and difficult self-love. To how such trouble with this simplicity put an end, happy he who neither listens to self nor to the tales of others. That's beautiful, isn't it? Happy is he. I just sometimes study my a little bit. Praise the Lord for his grace. What I like to do this morning is to study, to go into the Holy Spirit doctrine. You know, there's no more serious subject than the Holy Spirit doctrine. And for many people, it has been confusing too. They're wondering, have I have the Holy Ghost? What's the evidence that I got the Holy Ghost? Looking through the message, we know that the devil believes in the message of the hour and trembles. But the question is, does he have the Holy Ghost? And all of us who came through a period of time that the only thing we knew in the book of Acts, that they received the Holy Ghost, some of them spoke in tongues, or they spoke in tongues. They had a great time. And then a prophet comes and he said, now devil speaking tongues, because you're speaking tongues, don't think you got the Holy Ghost. That shakes the evidence that we had. So then you see, what is the objective? What are you striving to? Am I right? Before, you're striving, I want to speak in tongues and I got it. Then you stop and you say, now tongues is not the only evidence. How do I got it? And remember, then you got more narrow and narrow, and you say, now, the devil was in paradise, the devil was with Jesus. Then, really, who got the Holy Ghost? The first thing you have to remember, dealing with the Holy Ghost is something that's very, very tender. Because you don't deal like other subjects, or if you lie, murder somebody, kill them, or commit fornication, adultery, and all these sins that you might commit, it's really, the seriousness of blaspheming the Holy Ghost is very serious. Because one word against it cannot be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So I don't care how much you're in the message, this is serious. Am I right? You know, when God says, don't do it, if you do this, that's the penalty, I believe it.
Amen.
And because it's the key of Christianity, the Holy Ghost, when we start looking about what the Holy Ghost is supposed to be, we see that sometimes people think that they can say anything that they want to and they can buy with it. If I'm not mistaken, the church ages are the Philadelphian church age. Brother Branham says they mocked the Pentecostals of Azusa Street and God sealed them out. You know, you cannot go by, he says, get out of the middle, I'm going to kill these people. And Moses said to God, what the heathen are going to say about it? He says, they will say that you can't take them to the other side. And God said, all right, I'll do according to thy word. What was the word of Moses? Because what the heathen are going to say. 2-3 verses later, it says, but they will not see the promised land. So they were going to synagogue. They had a great time. They had Moses there. Jehovah spoke to them through Moses and everything. But God said they were wiped out. If you ask me today, what's the condition of the people? You know, when you go to the doctor, a few weeks ago, I went to the doctor to take my physical. He says, you're okay, you got to lose weight. I said, okay, I'm losing weight. So I lost 22 pounds. And one of this little sister, the Mary sister, said, I want to talk to you. So I went close. She said to me, you lost weight. I said, thank you. That's a good compliment. So you say, what is going on now? Am I right? And if I like to make the diagnosis of it and say what we are doing, what we are at, I'd like to give a quote from Dedicating Ourselves, paragraph 42. That's volume 62, book number 89. He says, but as the building began to materialize, they realized that the hole that was left, the odd stone, fit it to the dot. That's where the spiritual builders today. And that's why the bright building of Christ, that's you and I, am I right? Don't push the back down there. Is not ready for the bridegroom is because that the builders have rejected the chief cornerstone that was laid in the day of Pentecost, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's serious, isn't it? He gives you exactly what's the problem. I talk sometimes to many people and I ask ministers, I says, do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? They tell me, what are you, Pentecostal? I say, yes. I'm not too Pentecostal. I will not say one word against it because of the seriousness of it. The people read the word blasphemy and they think somebody's going to say a bad word about it. No, it isn't. Blasphemy comes from the word blasphemo. Blato means I destroy. Theme is the fame. Anything that destroys the activities of the fame of the Holy Ghost is blasphemy. Serious, am I right? You can be wiped out, you don't even know it, you praise God, hallelujah, going on, straight to the ditch. You know, if I see friends of mine that used to be in denominational circles, the people that want to give me the best jobs, they offer me a job as a president in a college and all that stuff. If they have turned their back to the Holy Ghost and said something about the Holy Ghost, I run away from them. But I'm not afraid to put my arm against an adulterer or adulteress, against a fornicator, against a drunk, because I have some hope in them. You know what I'm saying? Because these people, they're in the world, they don't know the difference, but once when you shut the door, there's nothing left. And the question is, no matter how flourished, how big the Methodist Church became and all these things that they do, remember, they're lost. You say, Brother David, what do you mean they're lost? As a system, they're lost. They were the first ones to ordain gay people for priesthood. All these things that happened. So one word against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So when we start looking at the Holy Spirit, the first thing I want to know, what is it? Am I right? What is it? Is it for me? If it's not for me, what am I arguing about? Then forget about it, close the case, it's for somebody else. I want to know what's for me right now. Now, the scripture says, first of all, you have to remember, now I'm going to refer you to some scriptures so you can look with me. In Acts, the fifth chapter, the 32nd verse, I'm trying to set you potentially in the body of Jesus Christ, okay? Now listen to this. Acts 5:32, it says this. And we are his witness of those things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You say, Brother David, I want to get the Holy Ghost. The question is, do you obey him? Am I right? And you say, now what I'm supposed to do to obey him, what you're supposed to do to obey him, you follow the formula to get the Holy Ghost. Now some people think, I accepted the message and their sins have never been forgiven. And they say, now the answer is, I want the Holy Ghost, I'm going to go to the altar and ask for the Holy Ghost. No, no. You better have your sins be forgiven first by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We're saying first things first. Am I right? Yes. And what are we saying? It's not the ideas of man, but we are following the scriptures. And you remember in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter and the 13th verse says this, in whom ye also trusted, after, not before, not during, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. With other words, you heard how to get saved. Am I right? That's the gospel of your salvation. After that, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So there's a sequence there. You say, Brother David, I want the Holy Ghost. The first question, if I wanted the Holy Ghost, I would say, have I heard the gospel of my salvation? Am I really saved? Or I'm an improved sinner under the name of the message? We don't want to face these things. But you know, it's the best thing to do to face reality right away, and then you know where you go. You know, I cannot help it. If I look at a mirror that I'm 5 feet 10 inches, I cannot sit around and tie a rope right on the ceiling and stretch myself to say I'm taller. It just doesn't work. Am I right? I got to look myself. I said, that's what you are. That's what you're going to be. Nobody can add to his stature 1 inch. God has to do it, right? You know? And people will try to do their best to be tall. Women wear high heels to make sure that they get a tall man and they fit together or something. I mean, that's it. Am I right? That's what's going on. But now, if I look at myself, the sisters are laughing because they know it's true. But now if I look at myself, he says here now, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, that's this, am I right? The gospel of your salvation, that's the gospel of my salvation. I heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And he says, whom also after you believe, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. It's not before you believe, but after you believe in that gospel of your salvation. Which is salvation? Am I right?
You are sealed with something. I'm sitting here and I says, well, I'm sealed. Somebody came or stick a stamp right in here and says, you got it, boy. No, it's not it. And then continues how beautiful the scripture. He says, which Holy Spirit is the earnest of your inheritance? I says, the earnest. What is it? Of course, you go to King James and we see there the earnest might be the down payment. But you see my little Greek Bible there that has to help me to get going on. It says there are avon, which is your engagement to your inheritance. So you say, Brother David, are you in the bride? I have been sealed with the Holy Ghost. I'm engaged with Jesus. How do you like that? Huh? It's pretty simple, isn't it? So you say, I want to be in the bride. I believe every book. I don't know if I mentioned to you. I had a man here in the church came over. He said, he got a table, Brother Bram's got in his back pocket like that. He said, I keep this tape all the time here for the rapture to come. I look at the poor creature. And I says, I don't care if you hang all the 1,200 tapes around you, keep on carrying them on. You'll never move unless you have salvation by the blood of Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Correct? So we have these people. They come from the States with big cowboy hats, you know, and you look at them probably they never rode a horse. I ask a man, I said, are you a cowboy? He looked at me. My wife says, no, he just found a hat. So now we're here into a state that I need that. Am I right? Even if this is my engagement, and I take the devil in one side, and a person that claims this and this about Jesus, and there the devil says, yes, I believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation of Jesus? He says, I stood in Matthew before Peter knew nothing about it, and I says, thou the Christ, the Son of the living God, to Jesus in his face. And Jesus rebuked me, and he says he didn't want him for me to make him know who he was. Am I right? He did that. So the devil knows who Jesus is. The devil attended all the meetings of Brother Branham. He was there. You know, try to create problems. Am I right? So I'm keep on looking, and I said, I want that Holy Ghost, and I'm a practical person, and I'm not going to give you just brainstorms. I said, now, listen, if somebody promised me these keys here, I'm looking for keys. Am I right? I'm not looking for an envelope. I'm looking for keys. So I said, is this the keys? He says, that's the keys. So I said, thank you. That's what you promised me. I get the keys put in my pocket. So I got to look at the promise, and I got to see at the results. So now, the Word of God, I believe in the infallibility of the Word of God, gives me some ideas, and he said to me, now, David Mamelis, I put my word down, and I said this in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. As here's an evidence. Am I right? I'll be a witness. So I just print a bunch of tracts, little booklets, go around. That's not it. Because the devil will do that. People will take a plane and spray Bibles. Which is fine. I have nothing against it. But when I start studying in my little Bible here, I run across to something that I want you to listen about that. And here in Matthew, in Acts 1:8, it tells me this. And he says this. Acts, the first chapter, the 8th verse. And he says, and you shall be martyrs instead of witnesses. Not passing pamphlets. By being dead with Christ and be able to stand martyrdom even. We like to exercise the flesh. But it's more than the flesh, the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? I have one of the original copies of the Fox Book of Martyrs. And the new books are only about 200 pages, big letters. And one of the original copies has 1,200 pages, carries the conversation between the martyrs and the Roman church when they killed them. You see mothers there. Bring them right in the front of the priest and says, are you going to deny this or not? And have their babies cutting their throats. That's not funny, am I right? How many of us will endure that? How many of us will have that power of the Holy Ghost to stay? Like Stephen said, I see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of God. Keep throwing the stones. But something little happened. I'm not going to put up with that stuff. Ooh. Okay, sister, God loves you. We're not rugged soldiers of the cross. I'm talking about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. We think that power is to dance in the Spirit. But the Scripture says you will be martyrs for me. Where? Jerusalem and Judea, where? All the way down to you today and tomorrow. We bear the reproach of having long hair and all these things don't work flat. But there's something more to that, you know that? It's something when the devil comes and beats you up to be able to raise your hand above everything. And look around your head and just grab somebody and say, I love you. It takes a little more to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the revelation that I kick around to show me who I am. Lead me to Calvary to die to myself. That's Holy Ghost. Be martyred. Be stepped on. Be spit upon. Right? We have it too easy. You know, when you have everything, you fuss about everything. Someday in the day of judgment, each one of us is going to answer. Going to answer for the accessibility of tapes and books that we had. There are people who have nothing and are still fussing about it. People of Israel didn't see the promised land. Why? Because they murmur, number one. You know, if God reveals who you are and who I am, I'm too busy to take care of myself. And the Holy Ghost does that. You know that? So now I'm looking here and I said, now, one of the evidence is this, that I have to obey God. And I know that I have to obey God, and the next thing I have to do, I got to get closer to the Lord now. And what I'm going to get, it's not a big time you beg a smile. To be able to be a soldier of the cross, to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. Am I right?
Yes,
I am. So I keep on looking. And what is it? Is it somebody's going to put a bucket of water on the top of me and I'm going to get it? What is it? I'm keep looking for it. And when you go home, read these three chapters, John 14, John 15, and John 16. Now you say, Brother David, let's straighten some things up first. When John the Baptist goes to his mother's womb there to be born, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Am I right? And I got news for you, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Acts 2. And you say, Brother David, what is the difference between Acts 2 and what John the Baptist had? The difference is in the book of John, the 16th chapter, the 7th verse that tells you this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Something wasn't there. Am I right? You say, was the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts? Yes. Was in the Old Testament? Yes. Is there another God? No one God. Was the Holy Ghost back in the prophets that were filled with the Holy Ghost? That was the Holy Ghost. But you know what I'm talking about? That evidence of the acceptance of sacrifice of Calvary. Two boys. One is Cain. The other one is Abel. Praise God they had a revival. God wants to sacrifice. Cain says, praise God. Hallelujah. Cain says, hallelujah, praise God. We'll offer a sacrifice. And they offer the sacrifice. And God says, Cain, I'm sorry. If you could do well, he says, if you could, because you couldn't, you know that. And he said to Abel, Abel, yes, it's okay. I accept this, I reject this. And the evidence of the sacrifice of Calvary, it's that same spirit that was in that body of Jesus Christ, returning the day of Pentecost, and he says, it's completed. Your sins are forgiven, the sacrifice has been accepted, church starts from here. After church starts back in the Old Testament, when Jesus went down to hell and pulled out all the saints, and Brother Branham says, possessing the enemy's gates, he knocked the door, says, Abraham, here I am. He took the keys, opened the gate, come out with the rest of them. And he brought them under the redemptive blood. So now I'm talking about getting a spirit that was in Jesus Christ, because you're going to see he promised that. The people are looking for a sensation, which I believe in the sensation. I believe when the Holy Ghost comes in you, you cannot say, I got it in silence like somebody else, and I didn't even know it until I got it. No, you know it. It's an experience. Your life changes. There's power there to go there and says, brother, sister, forgive me. I love you. You know that? God, the Holy Ghost will shake us up, because one who's going to study a little bit probably today and tonight, he says, nevertheless, he says, when that comforter will come, what he's going to do? And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. What is sin, Brother David? Transgression of the law of God. How you transgress the law of God? You can transgress it by thinking or saying something. Or acting something. And the Holy Ghost comes upon you and shakes you up. The first thing, the evidence that you got, he says, I don't feel too good. Pray for me. And then everybody's wrong except me. Why? Because you are wrong in your own faces. Am I right? Huh? Jesus didn't do that at the cross. But he was willing to be mocked, spit upon. I think sometimes we have another cross. We have the cross interpretation that he died for me, leave me alone, I'm going to have a party. But Jesus says, you go with him to the cross to be crucified with Jesus. So now, what he's going to do, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. With other words, listen to what I'm telling you. It's not a myth. It's not a man's idea about the Holy Ghost. Listen to what I'm telling you. I asked a minister one time, a friend of mine, he said to him, do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes. Do you believe in Acts 2? Oh, yes. He said, do you believe it's for today? Well, no, I don't know about that. If it's not for today, there's no salvation. Because the evidence of salvation. You deny the foundation of the blood of Christ and the evidence that he comes back and seals his church. You're finished. You're wiped out. No matter how successful you're going to be, you want to hit the dead end. A man said to me one time, he said, David, remember this. A man that dealt with the government for years, with the presidents of the United States, stay at the first floor all the time. If they throw you out of the window, you don't make a big splash. Sometimes for us to learn a lesson there, you know that? And he says, now, he says, I tell you the truth, I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. I says, the Comforter will not come unto you. What is that Comforter? Is there some being with two wings who's going to fly around, put his arm around me and says, David, 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 don't worry, I love you. You know, I'm looking for that Comforter. And remember, he says this. He says, for I will go away, and he says, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Him, not she or neither him. It's him. Huh? He's going to send it to me. It's personal. But send to the church. No, 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 it's to me. That's why you can get the Holy Ghost sitting in your living room, and you can get the Holy Ghost 2 o'clock in the morning. You can get the Holy Ghost in the church.
because it's to you. Isn't it beautiful? Huh? That guarantees to the one, that guarantees to Christopher that he was witnessing to somebody down there. They don't have a big church or nothing. God, get the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful to Jesus that he make it so easy that you and I can go to him. And now I don't have to just dial 2 o'clock in the morning. Pastor Mammal, yes. Are you awake? I'm sorry to wake you up. I want to talk to Jesus. Would you mind to open the door? He doesn't work like that. Am I right? You can't kneel down and say, Jesus of Nazareth. And friend, let me tell you something. When the people are swimming in doctrines and confusion, he said that he will lead you to all truth. Amen. The problem is they don't have the Holy Ghost. There are things that I don't want to preach, but let me mention one thing. When the prophet came, the message was, as John the Baptist foretold the first coming, you have a message to foretell the second. Am I right? So the only thing I know how he's going to run the second, go to see what John the Baptist has done. As John the Baptist comes preaching repentance and says, repent. All of a sudden, the multitudes, plethos, many people came around, they accepted the message. We want to be baptized by you, John. John says, you bunch of snakes, sons of Satan. Who are they? Message people. Do you know them? They came to be baptized by John. And John says, bring the fruits of repentance. With other words, it's not a repent, praise the Lord, and a big smile. Repentance, friends, tears you apart. Am I right? Repentance takes you down to the bottom. Repentance humiliates me and you. I go to the sister and say, sister, forgive me. Why? The Holy Ghost in us doing it. Am I right? Now the comparison there, the multitude, did they repent it? No. You say, how do you say that? Because he called them generation of vipers. A snake cannot repent. He's the son of Satan. Did Cain repent it? He couldn't. He says, if you could. So what Jesus said, now listen, you make a church of the message and praise God and give to the poor and you soldiers do that and you, but they never repented. But there were a few that they knew where repentance was. Just remember that. The multitudes of the message of the time of John, they had no repentance. But they hear the word of the Lord from John, and John says, go here, do this, and if you got 2 coats, give to another one, be a lovey boy, just praise the Lord, tell them John the Baptist told us to do it, we've got a message going. But unless repentance takes place, you go nowhere. This scares me. I don't want to mention this thing. That's in the scripture. That's hard gospel. But I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. Because I believe there are people here that are sincere and honest, and they're looking to Jesus for an answer. I believe this all with my heart. Friends, anytime you raise your hand and says, I want to see Calvary and the Holy Ghost, there's somewhere the Bride of Christ is doing that. So now when he will come, the Comforter, that I will send him, nobody else will send him, but he will send him. Am I right? So Jesus has to go. Some people say, listen, John the Baptist was full with the Holy Ghost at his mother's womb, and I got the Holy Ghost when I believe. No, 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 it's not like that. Since you believe. Am I right? Remember Ephesians 1:8? The gospel of your salvation. After you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And your book of Acts says, have you received the Holy Ghost? Since you believe. You tell this to the people today, you shake their hands in a convention. I'm not talking about here. God bless you, brother. Have you received the Holy Ghost? What's the matter with you? Are you Pentecostal? Yes, I am. I'm not ashamed of it either. Because I know what's in it. So now we see that Comforter that's going to come. What's it going to be like? I said, somebody put his arm around me? No, 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 no. It's a paraclete. But Brother David, he says he's going to send a Comforter. Is that the Holy Ghost? Just go a page in your Bible before that.
on John 14, the 26th verse, by the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. What is the Comforter? The Holy Ghost. Am I right? 2 and 2 makes 4. Doesn't make 6. He says this on the 26th verse, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise God. Now I'm going to have somebody teach me all things. You know that same thing is going to keep you. That's Brother David. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. What is that Comforter? The Comforter comes from the word Parakletos. Parakletos comes from the word klesis, who means a court case, and para, stand by a court case. I love that. Like an attorney. So now God, if I will illustrate like that, stands on the throne, stands the sacrifice. I have some quotes and we don't have the time to do it. But you see what happened with Christ at Calvary. Christ, God tore him apart. The body is the sacrifice. And he sent that spirit that was in that body back to the church. You know that? You know? So now the body of the sacrifice is there. All of a sudden he goes to the cross. He dies. The earthquake takes place. He preached to the lost down that they don't want dying by the days of Noah. They mock him. A bunch of holy rollers. And what God Jesus do? Then comes over and picks up that body and goes up there for the sacrifice to be accepted. And praise God. He says, in him, he says, your name was written before the foundation of the world. It was not by accident. Am I right? So God now takes his folder. All of a sudden, somebody down here that he knew from the foundation of the world, by the name Christopher, let's say. Something happens to him and the Spirit of the Lord draws him to himself. He says, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Right? Then he says, now, Lord Jesus, I want to confess this to the people, what you have done for me. I'm baptized. And then opening his Bible, he says, you receive the Holy Ghost. Is that for you sure about them that far off? If you got saved today, the evidence of the sacrifice of your salvation is still active. Because if it is not active, you cannot be saved. So God says, I'm illustrating. Christopher, he said, oh yeah, I died for him. Send him the Holy Ghost. Christopher sits in his room there. Lord Jesus, I love you. Please, Lord God. All of a sudden, something happens to him. And you know what? You hear the Holy Ghost too. Will not act the same sometimes. One can cry, the other one can laugh. You know that? So the Holy Ghost comes upon him, and what does he do? He says, now listen, I got your court case up in judgment, up in heaven. Now from now on, you are mine. I seal you. And one day I'm going to come and get you because I'm engaged to you. Beautiful, am I right? Amen. So Christopher says, thank you, Jesus. He had a great time. He goes next day. He says, 2 o'clock in the morning, he runs to his friend. He says, I got the Holy Ghost. He says, what is the Holy Ghost? What's the matter with you? But there was something different about him, right? Something changed him. He says, now what I'm supposed to do? He says, now, he says, that paraclete tells me that he's going to defend me up in heaven. What do you mean defend you up in heaven? He's my attorney. Klesis, court case, paraclesis. That paraclete is going to stand by the day of the judgment seat and defend me with his blood like a bumper, Brother Brown said. Right? So all of a sudden, Christopher praises the Lord. 30 days later, if he didn't do his prayer time, the devotion, he gets upset. He gets that other brother, punches him in the nose. All of a sudden, he knows what he did, right? All of a sudden, tum-tum, something wrong. Well, he did it well, no matter how much you're going to claim, it's what you did. Am I right? Am I right? So the Lord's dealing now with Christopher. Why? Because he says he will reprove the world of sin. He got it. Reproof says, now listen, Christopher, I'm defending you up here. You better straight up down there.
The Holy Ghost, am I right?
So I'm looking up there. I says, what's going on? I says, here is Christ with Christopher's folder. And he says, I pay the price, and Christopher's name is in that body of Jesus Christ, and the blood was shed for him. I send him the Holy Ghost. He's engaged with me now. He's my bride. And what's happening? Let's wait to see what the judge says. What judge? The attorney and the judge are the same people.
Hallelujah.
You can't miss the case. Am I right? What judge? It's one God only. The devil knows that. Listen to what the devil said to Jesus. He says, you're the Holy One of God. He wasn't a Trinitarian. He knew there's only one God. He knows more than the people know. So he takes all of a sudden, he says, now, what are we going to do about him? He says, I'm going to do what I said in my word. What are you going to do? I'm going to convict him from sin. And the Lord is dealing with him. Christopher brushes it off. The Lord is dealing with him more. All of a sudden, he hits a dead end. He says, now I need Jesus. Am I right? So he hits a dead end. He says, now, he comes over to the convention. He says, I have a prayer request. God has to answer. The problem is in the prayer request, and Christopher is straight up. How many prayer requests we pass around because we are not the way it's supposed to be? You have all the saints praying, Lord Jesus, do something, and God's looking at us. What's the matter with the people down there? Everybody loves the flesh. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. So I'm looking at our comforter, and he says, now, all of a sudden, you know, Christopher says, now, I cannot take it anymore. He says, now, what I want to do, I want to die. He goes to his room, closes the door, falls in his bed, Lord, I want to die. A voice speaks to him and says, that's what I want you to do. Am I right? Be dead to yourself. Be crucified with Christ. And all of a sudden, pride disappears. Humiliation says, praise God, I'm going to go to John Doe and says, forgive me. Why? The Holy Ghost. The people say, do you have the fruits of the Holy Ghost, the fruits of the Spirit? That's how you get it. He tells you what he's going to do. You say, Brother David, is this for me today? Now, if you trace that word paraclete, you go back to the First John. I hope you're getting something this morning. You know? You go to First John, the second chapter. He says this, my little children, he says, these things write unto you that you sin not. He tells you, don't sin. Don't mess up. But you know, God knows who we are. The problem is we don't know who we are. We're confusing everybody by our confusion. And God says, now listen, he says, don't sin. He says, if any man sin who have an advocate with the Father, Christ the righteous. What's that advocate? That same Greek word, parakletos. Ooh, I said. If you got sin, my dear sister, this morning, if you have sin, my dear brother, this morning, it's not because you are goody-goody and you're going to forgive that sin, but because you have an advocate with the Father.
Yeah. Amen.
Am I right? He says, he's there. He says, what can I do? Oh, give it a little time, they'll forget about it. But the Holy Spirit still deals with you. Am I right? Still burns you up if you have the Holy Ghost. Now, you go to pray and you say, praise God, thank you, Lord, for the convention, the message and everything, hallelujah. And I'm going to play a tape, and he says, well, I'm moving closer to the Lord. Forget these commercials. Get rid of sin first. The Holy Ghost says, okay, you fake, keep on doing it. Eventually you realize that you have to do things right with God. Right? Because he bought you with his own blood. And he said to you, now listen, John Doe, you have an advocate with the Father. With other words, you got an attorney, he has your folder, he's defending you at the court of justice, the blood is there for mercy, what are you going to do about it? He says, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And who is that judge, Jesus? That's me. I don't miss a case. The court case is for me. Before you enter the courtroom, you already win the case. How do you like that, huh? Predetermined case. You know? Even the mafia can't do that. Prefix that case.
you know, by Jesus prefixed, because he's the judge, the attorney, and everything. The word that's going to be judged. The judge has to judge by the law. Am I right? A judge cannot stand on the bench and say, I think this. The judge has a brainstorm. But you see, God's word stands, and God cannot deviate from his word. And Jesus paid the price for you and I, correct?
Amen.
So the word, the judge, and the attorney are in your side. You cannot miss. Why? Because you got the Holy Ghost. The people are looking for the Holy Ghost, something up in the sky that's going to move around and see something, a sensation. Praise the Lord, that's what I got. No. The evidence of the Holy Ghost, number one, is he'll reprove you from sin. Right? And he'll come in and be in you. In me? Yes. Have you ever displeased the Lord? Commit something or sin or anything and you know you're miserable?
Amen.
Have you ever done that? And what makes you to be miserable? It's that Holy Ghost in you that deals. And he says, now listen, you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by which you have been engaged until the day of your redemption. How do you like that? Beautiful, isn't it? And he says, now listen, he says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but the sins of the world. What's the propitiation? He paid the price. So the Jesus of the cross sends the Holy Ghost, telling me that he's my attorney, the paraclete up there, or the comfort if you want to call him, whatever. And he's up there defending me, and he's my propitiation for my sins. Remember, friends, sin that's committed cannot break the word of God.
Amen.
You get a punishment. But the propitiation for sin is what he paid to fulfill his law so he will not break it and redeem you back to himself. Who is my propitiation for sins? The same Jesus on the cross, the same Holy Ghost of Acts 2 is my propitiation of sins today. You deny that, it's like denying the Holy Ghost. Because that's the function of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You think of this, friend. Let me read the scripture. He says to you and to me, and if any man sin, and I'm so thankful he said that. You know why? Every day we sin. I need Jesus every day, friend. What do you think if the blood was not on the altar? What would you do? It's not only things that we do, but it's also things that we're supposed to do and we're not doing. But he's there. He stands there. He says he sits there. He's the paraclete with the Father. He says the righteous. With other words, he'll do things right with you. And he says, now listen. And he is the propitiation for our sins. With other words, Jesus of Nazareth, the body of sacrifice, is identifying me with a judgment seat. And he says, now I'm paying the price right now. John Doe lie down there. He repented. It's right here to be paid. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know what we say? We don't want that. We're in another age right now. What age, friend? What age are you? Is it an 8 age or have 7 church ages? He said, Brother David, are the bride age. The bride age, my friend, you know what it is? They're pulled out of the Laodiceans to form the bride. We don't have 6, 9, 12 church ages. We have 7. The scriptures are so.
Yes.
And he said, Brother David, about that church age that you're talking about, what did he say? If any man. He stands at the door and knocks. Who is that door? Christ, am I right?
Amen.
We're sticking out of the Sunday school room for the little kids. But it wasn't there for the little kids intended. It was intended for you and I. If any man will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Lord Jesus, I'm in the bride. Praise God. How do you know? The prophet prayed for me in the prayer line. So did Abraham for Ishmael. Whoo! That's not evident. You know, a bunch of hitchhikers. I knew the prophet, I did this, I did that. I want to know that Jesus is the prophet.
Amen. You know that? And now I'm moving close to him. Where are you going, David? I lied. What are you going to do? I'm going to do what he tells me. What did he tell you? I have an advocate with a father, a paraclete. They defend him. I'm going to my attorney. I said to my attorney, you have a professional ethics not to tell anybody? I don't even have to tell him that because he knew the case before he started. Am I right? So I said, I'm coming. He doesn't even have to tell me why you're here for. He knows it. And you know what I say? Just as I am, without one plea. I love the Lord, friends. Beautiful to know that the Word of God is so perfect. He didn't save you to dump you in the ditch. Now you say, Brother Dave, what is the Holy Ghost? It's the resurrected Spirit of Jesus Christ, confirmed the sacrifice that He paid the price, comes back and comes in me and tells me I'm part of that sacrifice that He paid, and I'm ready to go and I'm engaged with Jesus. Simple, am I right? People say, now, you can get the Holy Ghost, just laugh a little bit, but not cry too much. What is that nonsense stuff? You know the only thing I want to? I want that paraclete to have my case, the folder. That's why I care. Keep on going. You know, it's a comfort in you to know that you don't have to carry a tape in your pocket to be saved, to make the rapture. But because the Holy Spirit seals you. Let me ask you this. We look in our lives today. Times 12, the little boy says, cut it up. Now, let me ask you this, friend. Let's look in our lives. Is it possible that we have wrapped up so much in doctrines and forgot the basics of Christianity? And the people dropping their carcasses in the wilderness of doctrines, and they don't even know that there's an advocate there with the Father, the paraclete that can forgive sins. I just want Jesus, that's all.
Amen.
People don't understand. You know, a person said to me, are you a Pentecostal? I said, yes. He says, well, look what they did in Azusa Street. I said, that's nothing what we are doing. Am I right? They deny the fire foundation of the cross. They said, the blood is no good anymore. This and that. By the time they got through, they chopped everything so much, you can't even put it together anymore. And they, you'll never be able to. But there are so many of the message believe that. That doesn't shake me up, because there were multitudes at the time of John the Baptist. So I'm just keeping one eye what John the Baptist did, what happened there, and I keep on going. But there's no greater pleasure to have that confidence that you have that advocate in you, that you know voluntarily you will not fail. And you know this, that if that advocate was not there, that paraclete, to justify you and do you right, I cannot live one day without going to hell, friends. We think we are super duper people. But I'm afraid when I start reading about the love of God, I feel like crawling under the benches and saying, mercy, mercy is what changed me. Am I right? He has done it all. It's so simple. A man said to me, Brother David, says, you get in the Greek and give deep revelation. I said, that's not what the Greek for. He said to me, what is it for? I said, to simplify for the people. Amen. And they scratched their head, they can't figure me out. This guy, I can't figure him out. You know why? It's too simple and run over it. And they don't even know it. They think that you're going to take the book of Revelations and just spin their head for a while. And it's true, can't do it. But what that proves, when that little sister, that brother, there are sins in their heart, and they come for an answer, and you give them mysteries that nobody has seen, they go back home with the same burden. Close their door, says, I had a good convention, but what's that about? You know what it is? I needed something different. I needed to reach Jesus. If He comes tonight, where I go? Take all your doctrines. Have it. Leave me alone. You know, you say, Brother David, what's the hour? I'm closing with this. Okay, little boy.
closing with this, try to humor myself to get my mind out of it, because this kills me. Listen to where we're at. The two places in the scriptures that the Laodicean church age is mentioned is Revelation 3 and Colossians 2. Colossians 2, we see here that it's a mystery chapter. Paul there speaks to the Laodicean. He says, look, he says, he explains to them on the third verse. He says that in Christ is he the treasures of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. He speaks about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Am I right? He continues. He says that you are complete in him, the tenth verse, in him which is the head of all principality and power. What does he tell you? You are complete in Christ. Am I right? If you are complete, if you had anything here somewhere else, you could. You were incomplete to begin with. So he says everything is in Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, just stay with it. He says, buried with him in baptism of the 12th verse. Am I right? That's what we talk about. Being buried with Jesus, dying to yourself. Is it correct? And then to continue on, he says, now, he says, I want to give you a little warning, a little red flag. He says, on the 18th verse, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and a worshiping of angels. We are doing it today, worshiping angels. Instead of Jesus Christ, and people worship William Branham. Is this true or not? He's telling us something, friend. Wake up. The worshiping of angels, intruding unto those things which they have not seen, vainly popped up without his fleshly mind. Everybody's intruding to deep revelations, and Jesus is not there. I said, give me Jesus, and I'll let you know where I go. Am I right? Intruding into those things which they have not seen, and doing what? Vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. Everybody's puffed up. Big revelation. Where are you taking me? What? This is it. This is the answer. What is the answer? What is in the scripture? Oh, you don't get it. I said, just a minute. I am complete in Jesus Christ. What is Jesus in the whole thing? Well, it's more than that. He said, it's complete. Bury me with Jesus and I got it all. Am I right? Praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost, aren't you? You know, probably tonight we should continue. I haven't even started my outline. It's right here, little boy laying around. But I believe in the simplicity of the gospel.
Amen.
If we can just be ignorant, minus zero, it says, Lord Jesus, you promised the Holy Ghost. This man says that he's my defender, and the word says the same thing. I want the Holy Ghost. I don't care how I'm going to act, and I don't know what I'm going to get, but you say that's what he's going to be doing to me, to convict me from sin, and that's what I want. Jesus, give it to me, and just be simple about it, and the Lord's going to give it to you. I believe that. But we say, now, let me see what I'm supposed to do. But if this, if that, what do you worry about these things? God never told you to analyze it. He says, now listen, you're going to get it. What is that? The evidence of the sacrifice of Calvary. Or is this for our day? Then Calvary terminates. You know, we have young people here, older people. If we follow the formula of some of the people, if you didn't count the message before 63, you cannot be saved. Do you know that? We'll wipe out many people in this place. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
Am I right?
Amen.
And when he'll come to pick up his bride, he's not going to say, now, how many of you walk with the prophet? No. How many of you are buried with Jesus?
Amen.
Right? How many of you have that experience of conviction of sin? You know, some people just, if I get to the revelation, friends, of the mystery that God asks you to pick up your own, to pick up your Judas, pick up your cross and follow me. And the mercy of God that gives you the Judases instead of you selecting them. Do you know how I pick up my own Judas? I pick up the nicest lady and the nicest man to be good to me. But sometimes God puts you in a corner to beat you up. Get everything out of you. And lead you to the cross. Is that it? Yes. Then you see, you lose all the confidence in everything else except Jesus Christ. Then you see, you put a tape recorder and you play a tape. That's me. Brother Branham preached, you know. He says, now be dead to yourself. He says, now I got one problem. He said, that's William Branham to get it out of the way. I do too. Am I right? Both of them testify the same cross. You know. I better close. It's 12 o'clock. I hope something has been said to place you to the Word of God. Friends, I'm not an entertainer. I don't know how to do these things. You know, I don't know how to kick my feet or wear pink socks. I don't know how to do these things. The only thing I know is look at the Word of God. Here's the answer. You know, I just, any spirit that speaks against the Holy Ghost, I'm gone. I'm just gone. Because it scares me to death. I don't want to be part of it. And you say, why? Because what I show you. It's not a doctoring issue. To me, it's a life issue. Because if I deny it, he won't stand for me up there. Do you know that? And I can carry on religion. And praise God. David, did you know the problem? Yeah, I did. I drove there, Brother Brown sent me. Blah, 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 blah. What is that stuff? I'd rather know one thing, know Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for His love. Am I right?
Amen.
You know? Tonight, we'll continue, if you don't mind, on the Holy Ghost doctrine. So much to learn there, isn't it?
Amen.
Sometimes it's good to have, say, 5-6 day meeting or something like that, 2 days, and then at night have a prayer meeting. Each one of us, ignore the other fellow, and just get before God says, I want that, I don't care what it is. Am I right? Working one thing there to focus in Christ and the Holy Ghost, and then focus in the other side of our ignorance. I said, we need you, Jesus, whatever it is. Praise the Lord for His goodness. Sorry to keep you too long. But I hope that you go on with Jesus, friend. I hope you see the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's sitting right today, interceding for you and I. What about if, that big if, He was not there as a paraclete standing for you to defend you? I don't care how many repentances you're going to have, you'll go nowhere because you need the blood to be forgiven. And without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin.
Amen.
Glory. Brother Cyril, I'm sorry to take you so much time. Yeah. God bless you. Pray for what? Lord Jesus, we're here, Lord. Time has been against us, but there's something more important, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody in this audience might be a beat up soul, beat up by Satan right and left, doesn't know which direction to go. Oh God of heaven, reach that wandering mind, that wandering soul. Lord, make yourself real. Lord, clear the path in their minds, what they're supposed to do. And in simple faith, to ask from you help, Lord God. Thank you for this audience. They are beautiful people. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for my sins. God, paraclete for me. Thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. Blessed Brother Cyril, the baptism service, Lord. Help us, Lord, to go home and think about Jesus. Lord, bless each one here. Don't let anybody, Lord, go on in life without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.